Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, when I picked that song, my wife said, you know that song's 8 minutes long, right? And I said, that's okay. We can give 8 minutes to the resurrection, right? Amen? Hallelujah? Amen. So grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Good morning. Let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for the grace and the mercy that you show us each and every day in our lives, Father. We thank you that you have delivered us from our sins. We thank you, Father, that you promise an eternal life, Father, a resurrection in the last of days. Father, we thank you for the text today, for the your mighty words, the message, Father, the message of salvation. We thank you for the cross, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. 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 All right, so my sermon title today is Don't Cry, okay? And that goes for all of you today. Don't cry during the sermon, okay? Especially you, Mom, back there. Amen. She loves to cry. So. You got the Kleenex next to you? She's got a box of Kleenex, okay. So my... you got Kleenex? You good? Okay, all right. All right. So... Luke is telling us in today's text about another miracle performed by Jesus. Amen. We just heard about a miracle last week. We're hearing about another miracle this week. Amen. This would be the first of three miracles recorded where Jesus raises someone from the dead. Amen. And the second one would be, of course, Jairus' daughter that we're going to study about in the next chapter. Probably about late October. And then lastly, of course, when Jesus raises Lazarus, amen, in the book of John. And so those are the three times recorded that Jesus raises someone from the dead. So Jesus had just healed a centurion slave in Capernaum, we talked about last week, and we're going to pick it up in verse 11. And it says that soon afterward, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went along with him. And as he approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. So here's another map, okay, with the Sea of Galilee here again. Sea of Galilee. And here's Capernaum up here that we were just in talking about last week. And down here is Nain, okay? So Jesus once again is traveling, and he has entered a town called Nain. And so Jesus' fame and his popularity are growing immensely at this time. Amen? And not only are his 12 apostles following him, but he's got many disciples following him. And that's the crowd that they're talking about here in this text. He's got many disciples that are following him. So a large crowd is following him. And but this wasn't the only crowd on this day, okay? You see, Jesus' crowd was entering the town, okay? But there was another crowd that was exiting the town at this time. And there would be a great contrast between these two crowds. Okay? One crowd would be joyous, following our Lord and Savior, right? Waiting for another miracle, you know, cheering and being hopeful and joyous. And while the other crowd would be mourning. The other crowd coming out of the town would be mourning. They'd be full of sorrow, and they'd be following a coffin. Following a death to a burial. Notice that the woman, she's not only a widow, okay? She's not only a widow, but it says that she's lost her only son. She's lost her only son. And it doesn't say how old he was, but it does say in the coming verses that he was a man. Okay, so we know that he's old enough. He's probably taking care of his mother. You know, she had lost her husband. And so he's probably the breadwinner in the house, and because her husband had already passed. So in 1 Timothy chapter 5, it says, give proper recognition to those widows who are really in need. But if a widow has children or grandchildren, these should learn first of all to put their religion into practice by caring for their own family, and so repaying their parents and grandparents, for this is pleasing to God. The widow who was really in need and left all alone puts her hope in God and continues night and day to pray and ask God for help. Amen? And a lot of us have experienced that. A lot of us, you know, get to a point in our lives where we have to take care of our parents. Amen? And some grandchildren even take care of their parents sometimes. Amen? But that's what the Lord has called us to do. So this woman has lost her husband at some point. She had lost her husband. And it says here in 1 Timothy, as modeled after quite a few verses in Deuteronomy, okay, that we are called to help the widow. And most especially, if we're the family, we're called to help the widow. And so the widow has already been through the tragedy of losing her husband, and now she's lost her child. She's lost her only son, and she's all alone. Now, no parent should ever have to bury their child. Amen? This is one of the most tragic and difficult things, I believe, for a human being to have to endure. And I know this is going to make a lot of us in this church cry today, but, you know, remember, through Jesus Christ, we all have the victory. Amen? We all have the victory through Jesus Christ. Now, there are a number of very special women in my life who have had to deal with this tragic scenario of losing their child long before it was their time. And some examples I wanted to give you was, first of all, my mother. We lost my brother 15 years ago this year. And, you know, it's a tragic time. And the pain never really leaves us. Amen? And then my grandmother, my mom's mom, she lost her son at 27 years old over 25 years ago. Almost 30 years ago. Over 30 years ago. And then my mother-in-law, Teresa, my wife's mother, she lost two sons in the last 5 years, right? She's lost two sons, David and Alejandro. And then my sister in Christ and Shannon Owsley in the back here, she lost her son here just recently. Amen? Huh?
Yeah, 3 weeks ago.
3 weeks ago. 3 weeks ago. Same age as me at 52. And Cheryl DeVos has lost her son as well. And a friend of ours, Linda Bishop, who's a new member of the church, she lost her son a few years ago. And so it's such a tragic thing to deal with. Amen? In our lives. Such a tragic thing to deal with. But just like the widow from today's text, these women that had to deal with this in my life, they dealt with it with no husband. Well, most of them. With no husband. And just like the woman in today's text, amen? With no husband to support them through this difficult time. But the common ground that all of these great women had in their lives was that they not only had family, but they had friends to support them. Right? They had family, they had friends. And but the most important thing that they had in their lives was they had Jesus in their lives. That's what got them through this, amen? Because they had Jesus in their lives. And so it was with the widow. She was mourning. She was there with a great crowd that was mourning with her as she left the city. And then along comes Jesus, amen? The two crowds meet. Along comes Jesus. And here this woman is hurting at the worst moment in her life. She is hurting at the worst moment in her life. She's not looking for anything but answers and comfort. Amen? That's what she's looking for. But the Lord is looking for her. As the Lord's coming into the town, he's looking for her and he sees her. And in the next verse it says that when the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her and he told her, "Don't cry. Don't cry." Now, why would the Lord say this? Why would the Lord tell this woman who's mourning, "Don't cry"? It's because Jesus has the power over death. Jesus has the power over death. And the blood of Jesus has the power over every death. Every death that'll ever happen, Jesus' blood has the power over that death. Jesus had the power to raise the dead, and Jesus has the power to give us new life. Amen. Now, how many of us here have experienced that for ourselves, right? How many of us have experienced that for ourselves? How many of us has God touched and gave you a new life, delivering us from our sins and giving us a new life in Christ? Amen. We didn't have to ask for it. We didn't have to look for it, although some of us did. We just had to receive it. Amen. All we had to do was receive it. Where were you in your life when you had your back turned to God and yet He still came into your life, right? You remember that? I know I do. You know, God was still coming into my life even though I had my back turned to Him. So just as the people did for this woman in this little town of Nain, you know, she had people, just like we did, praying for us and mourning for us, right? And there are always people in our lives praying for us and mourning for us. And these are powerful prayers, amen? I talk about the prayers of a mother. You know, my mom's prayers in my life and the things I've gone through, you know, intercessory prayers are so powerful in our lives, amen? But then the encounter happens, okay? These two crowds are crossing paths, coming in and out of the town of Nain, and the encounter happens. And it says in verse 14 that when he went up, Jesus went up and touched the coffin. As they're coming out, as the procession's coming out, Jesus goes up and he touches the coffin. They call it a bier that they were carrying him on, and the bearers stood still, and he said, "Young man, I say to you, get up." You see, Jesus had compassion for this young man. He had compassion for him, and just like he has for us, he sees us when we're dead in our transgressions. He sees us dead in our transgressions, and he says, "Get up, I can give you a new life. Get up." He sees us hurting from the losses in our lives, and He comforts us. He comforts us with His eternal promise. I have a pretty big family, especially on my mom's side. Probably have about 400 family members on her side. And, you know, I've been to a lot of funerals, unfortunately, with that many people in your family. You go to a lot of funerals. And been to a lot of funerals, but not as many as I've experienced as a pastor. Amen. Done many funerals, been doing funerals all through seminary and all through my internship. Been doing funerals for about 6 years now. And seen so many people hurt. And we've seen many men and women hurting and suffering a lot of times. And a lot of times they don't understand what's happened. They don't understand why their loved one was taken from them or why they had to lose their child. Amen? They don't understand. But as a pastor and as a church, our job is to bring a message of hope to these people in their time of need. To bring a message of hope. And that hope is that there is life after death. That there is life after death. That's what comforts us all as believers. This is the ultimate message of the gospel. And one day, we are all going to perish one day, but as believers, the moment we close our eyes, God's word says that we will see our new life. Amen? The moment we open our eyes again, we will see that new life. And that as believers, we will see our loved ones again. Hallelujah. Amen? Can I get a woo-woo from the back? Yeah, all right, amen. But in today's text, life after death takes on a different meaning, okay? But take note, this is going to be a resuscitation, not a resurrection, okay? Jesus is bringing this man back to life. This is a resuscitation, not a resurrection. Does everyone know the difference? Or does anyone know the difference between a resuscitation and a resurrection. Amen? Well, I'm going to explain it to you here. Okay, so the difference is that a resurrection, as the one experienced by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, a resurrection is when we receive a glorified body that will never die again. Amen? That's the resurrection. That's the model. That's Jesus was the first fruits of that resurrection. Amen? And so these people that Jesus had brought back to life, they were resuscitated. Okay? They were resuscitated, which means they would die again in the flesh. They were brought back to life, but they were going to die again because the flesh will die. Amen? The flesh will die. They're going to die again. And but fear not. Amen? Because the blood of Christ has saved us all from the second death. The blood of Christ has saved each and every one of us from the second death. And he's given us new life. And that's an eternal life. And he's going to give us glorified bodies. Amen? Each and every one of us as believers. Thanks be to God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Yeah! There's a famous story from the life of the late great evangelist D.L. Moody. And one day Mr. Moody was asked to conduct a funeral service. Okay? And so he decided that he was going to study the Gospels to find a sermon by Jesus Christ for a funeral. Amen? So, in Moody's search, he found that every funeral that Jesus had attended, it seems that every funeral Jesus attended, he brought the person back to life. So he never got a chance to give the sermon, right? Jesus never got a chance to give the funeral sermon because he was bringing people back to life. He was resuscitating them. Amen? So needless to say, Moody would have to find his inspiration for his sermon somewhere else, right? So, anyways, Jesus is walking to the casket. He's walking up to the casket, and with authority, he tells the young man, he says, "Get up. I say to you, get up." And the young man does. He gets up. Amen. He comes back to life. Now, this is just a preview of the resurrection day that is to come for each and every one of us. Amen? Jesus tells him to get up. Jesus is going to tell us all to rise at the second coming of Christ. Amen? And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, it speaks of this. It says, "For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first, and after that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will be with the Lord forever." Forever. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So the widow's son's resuscitation in today's text is a preview of the resurrection that is to come. It's a model. It's a preview. All the bodies of believers that are buried will be resurrected. Even the ashes. Yes, even the ashes, okay? Even the ashes. Even the dry bones, okay? Amen? Will be resurrected into the glorified bodies spoken of in God's Word. Amen. And it is God's Word that can tell a dead man to get up, right? It's God's word that can tell a dead man to get up. And did you know that in all three recorded cases where Jesus raised the dead, he would speak to them all as if they were alive. That was the unique thing about it. Jesus would speak to them as if they were alive. And in the next chapter of Luke, we're going to come to the raising of Jairus' daughter, okay? And that's the second of these three resuscitations, if you will. And as they would come to Jesus, they would say to him that it was too late. That he was too late and that he was too late to save her, right? Amen? And they would tell him, and then he would tell them, "Don't cry, she's not dead." right? She's not dead. She's only sleeping. She's not dead. And Jesus would continue, walk past them and go to her bedside. Amen? And he would say to her, "My child, get up." Speaking to her as if she were alive. Jesus would say, "My child, get up." And then remember when Jesus came to Bethany and Martha met him on the road to Jericho, right? Met him on the road to Jericho, and as he was approaching the village, and she left the mourners, okay? She left all the mourners at the house, all the mourners for her brother Lazarus, and she went out to meet Jesus. And when she finally caught up to him, she said, "Lord, if you had only been here, my brother would still be alive. My brother would still be alive." And she's basically saying, "Lord, what took you so long? Why did you wait so long to come? What took you so long?" But Jesus was not in a hurry to get there. We remember that, right? Jesus was not in a hurry to get there because he knew what was going to happen. He knew what was going to happen with Lazarus, and he knew that his will was going to be done. Then Jesus would tell Martha that her brother would live again, and she would say, "Oh, I know, in the last day, in the great resurrection, he will live again." And Jesus would say, "I am the resurrection, and I am the life." And Jesus would say that, and he would say that, "He who believeth in me, though he dies, he shall live." Amen? So he was telling them, right, that we shall never die, is what he was saying. And so Jesus entered the village of Bethany, and as he came to the house of Martha's sister where they were gathering, Mary was there and the other mourners, and Mary said the same thing. She said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would still be alive." Then Jesus wept. Shortest verse in the Bible, right? Jesus wept. He said, "Where did you lie his body?" They said, "Come, we will show you." And when they came to the cave where he was buried, Jesus said, "Roll the stone back from the cave." And they told him that it had been 4 days and that wasn't a good idea, right? Because the body was going to be smelling and the body had been in there for 4 days, okay? So Jesus then looks at him and says, "Didn't I tell you that if you believe in me, you will see the glory of God? Move the stone." So they rolled back the stone and Jesus called into the tomb and he said, "Lazarus," speaking to him like he's alive, right? "Lazarus, come out." And he came out. He came hopping out, right? Came hopping out with all the bandages on. Amen. He comes hopping out. And notice once again, he's speaking to him as if he's alive, right? He's speaking to him as if he's alive. So in today's text, Jesus tells this dead young man to get up as if he's still alive. He says, "Get up." You see, Jesus understands that although the body may be dead, the spirit is still alive. The spirit is still alive. Jesus is speaking to the spirit. He's not speaking to the body. When he's telling these people to get up, he's speaking to the spirit. The body's just a vessel. And one day our spirit is going to go somewhere. Our spirit's not going to die. Amen? Amen. So Jesus is telling the spirits, he's telling the spirits, come back to the body. The resuscitation is telling the spirits to come back to the body. And the spirits are subject to Jesus as well. Amen. Jesus commands the spirits and the spirits return to the body. So all things are possible through Christ Jesus. All things are possible. And in verse 15, it says that the dead man got up and he started to talk. He gets up and he starts to talk and Jesus gives him back to his mother. Wow, right? Imagine being there and seeing this and I would have fainted or passed out or something probably. In Ireland they hold wakes, okay? They always hold these wakes, and when a person dies, they keep the body in a coffin at the house and they have a wake. And after the ceremony, they get this coffin and they have a procession and they carry it down in the streets, I guess to the nearest cemetery, right? And so there was an Irishman whose wife had died, and they had the wake, and they're carrying the coffin, and they're carrying it down the street, and they come to this corner. And as they're rounding the corner, they bump the coffin on the corner of the building. And as they bump the coffin, I guess it jarred this woman and did something to her lungs. She starts breathing, and she comes back to life. She starts breathing, she comes back to life, and she starts to talk, right? And she gets up, and she gets out of the coffin and goes home, right? She gets up and goes home. And so she lived for another 3 years. She lived for another 3 years. And, of course, she died again, right? It was a resuscitation. It wasn't a resurrection, amen? So she dies again. And they have another wake. And she's in the coffin. And they're carrying her down the street again. And they come to that same corner. And the guy that was leading the procession, he says, "Be careful, be careful. Don't hit the wall again." Amen? Don't hit that wall again. You know, I don't know if maybe they couldn't afford another wake. I don't know. But say, so don't hit the wall again. Amen? Be careful. So anyways, that's a resuscitation. Amen. That's a resuscitation. And that would eventually end in death. We will all die in these fleshly bodies. We're all going to die in these fleshly bodies. Except, of course, those of us who are still here at the Lord's second coming. Amen. Which could be any day. Maranatha. Amen. Hallelujah. But we as believers, we're going to be raised from the dead in the resurrection that is to come. And that resurrection actually begins today. That resurrection, that new life is ours today. Amen? The resurrection has already begun. And all we have to do is trust in the Lord's promise of eternal life and believe. So the dead man would sit up. And he says in verse 16, it says in verse 16 that they were all filled with awe and praised God. A great prophet, they said, has appeared among us. And they said, God has come to help his people. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. They were filled with awe as this man arose and they praised God. They praise God for the miracle. This is the proper reaction, right? This is the reaction they should have to a miracle from Jesus, right? Not like the Pharisees who would come and accuse him of breaking laws or even say that he was doing it in the power of the devil, right? Amen? This is the correct reaction to a miracle from Jesus. But you see, all throughout history, fear has followed from the miracles of Jesus Christ. Amen? Fear follows. Fear and trauma has traditionally followed all those who catch a glimpse of God's mercy. Amen? Or God's miracles. But that fear that we're talking about, Martin Luther talked about two types of fear. Okay? These are Latin words for two types of fear. The first one is a servile fear. And servile fear means that you're in a fear of punishment, okay? A fear that someone's going to punish you for doing something wrong, or that's a servile fear, okay? And that's the secular world's, that's how they look at the fear of God, right? They only think of a punishment, like, if I don't do the right thing, God's going to punish me, right? That's how the secular world looks at the fear of God. But the second definition is a filial fear, and that's the fear of displeasing our Father. The fear of not pleasing our Father or the fear of not pleasing God. That's the fear of God as believers that we're to have, right? Not that he's going to torture us or punish us, but that we want to please him, that we don't want to displease him. That's the fear. That's the fear of God that God's word talks about. So God is still performing miracles, and God is still with us today if we only let him in. Amen? Amen. So when we allow God to lead us, and when we live in his will, he will raise us from the death of these fleshly bodies. He will give us eternal life. So we should always want to please Him, right? That's the fear of God, right? We're living our lives for Him. He's promised us eternal life. We should always want to please Him. God has come and He still comes for His people each and every day. Then in the last verse it says that the news about Jesus spread throughout Judea and the surrounding country. So my message from last week's sermon was about how our faith in God's word can bring healing. Right? Like it did for the centurion servant. Our faith can bring healing. And the message from this week is that nothing is impossible or beyond the mercy and compassion of God. Nothing is impossible. And these are messages that we, as the family of God, are called to go out and give. Right? This is the message that we're called to go out and give unto the whole world. A message of healing, a message of restoration, a message of hope, a message of peace, and most importantly, a message of salvation. That's the message we're called to give. This is the message that the people of Nain were spreading then, and this is the message that the family of God is spreading today, right? The Great Commission. That's what we're called to do. Amen? Spread God's word. Spread God's message. So if God has turned your mess in your life into a message, then go out into the world and spread that message. Amen? Go out and proclaim the gospel to all of creation. That's what we're called to do. Amen? So love and peace to you all. May God's resurrection power lead us all to eternal life and spread that word. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Father God,